Blog Talk Radio.
The world will know.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, indeed, for another episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Enemia. Yes, indeed, Enemia of Covenant Remembrance Ministry. So very thankful to the Most High. Yes, indeed. The opportunity to be back with you. Yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you again for another precious episode. Yes, indeed, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, yes, indeed, again, Eddie Miab, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to speak these very precious words for the reconciliation of His people, for the people of the Most High. The Most High indeed has told me, yes indeed He's told me, that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. Yes, He told me because of what I must do, He said, yes indeed, that I'd accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, that I would have His protection, yes, His protection, His guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. I said I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, and I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, He has told me I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Nevertheless, my brothers and sisters, yes, speaking of such such provocative truths, in a world, my brothers and sisters, that over the course of ages has only become all the more and more depraved, and this evidence, and the evidence of this is quite easy to see if we just simply consider. There's 45,000 counting denominations in this world who call themselves believers. There's some 280 nations and counting, which only tells us, my brothers and sisters, that man has grown all the more indiscriminate each passing day, that more and more corruption, more and more insanity, instability, spiritual depravity has to so many people who judge merely after the what their eyes see and their ears hear. So much spiritual depravity has become all the more to so many minds as if it were acceptable, as if it were the norm. I can only tell you that today, for me, was something of an unusual time. Yes, indeed, it was. This day has been. And I can only say to you that this day, watching all the so-called festivities, this Halloween, All Hallows Eve custom, everywhere. Wow. Watching it and seeing so many people, just completely indiscriminate as to how they have walked after what in so many ways is a blinded, inconsiderate, and irreverent, whether they know it or not, status quo. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, I would have to tell you there's been something of a toll on my spirit. Yes, indeed, there's been something of a toll on my spirit to watch it. Pray for the day when men will become much more discerning, much more reverent of Yah. Discern that such things as this, that by no means give an honor to the Most High, will in any part be participant in what the Most High calls the Holy Covenant, because indeed nothing after the imaginings of man, seeming wise unto men, none of the constructs and traditions of men will have any part in the Holy Kingdom. That is a promise. That is a promise from the Most High. Well, my brothers and sisters, today I even saw something else. Brothers, if you will, call themselves Brews, Hebrew Israelites, if you will. And one of the most insane arguments, the most insane of arguments. I'm not going to get into the idea of the derogatory language, but I find it amazing that both of them contended and contend heavily, one of them directly contending, that he keeps Torah. Heaven help us. How many of us understand, my brothers and sisters, to keep Torah is to keep, my brothers and sisters, and to strive for all that is related in the law of the Most High and the peace. I said peace, my brothers and sisters, is the only acceptable offering. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that men can sit back and say, because they read the words, and ultimately, my brothers and sisters, functioning after what is obviously carnal conjecture, carnal interpretation, see no evil in senseless, idle words. What's the scripture say? Matthew 12:36. Every idle word, foolish word that a man speaks, he should give account of it in the judgment. Shall we not understand, my brothers and sisters, that whoever it is, that it's not reasonable, I said it's not reasonable, showing the desire for ultimate peace, ultimate divine peace, who is not willing to humble themselves for the greater inspiration of the Most High? Shall we not understand, my brothers and sisters, whoever is not driven for perfect peace will have no part in the Holy Kingdom, no part in the Holy Covenant? Saw something else today. I'm not going to get into that heavily tonight, because I got a lot of things I think I need to relate to you. But I just recently saw something in the front page of the newspaper. And by all indication, Texas state constitution has ruled that freedom of speech with regard to in the entertainment field, all manner of explicit language, and I guess you can maybe say even the way it appears, innuendo, explicit language, images from where the article was painted. They dared to call it protected under the Constitution as freedom of speech. Oh, Heavenly Father, where is protection for the human psyche and the human soul? The defense of what needs be, that souls might be pure, acceptable unto thee, Father. Where? Well, I have a lot to speak about tonight. A lot of things have been hitting me for most of the day. I thank the Most High that He keeps my mind focused, that He allows me with each moment to be made aware. And if I haven't considered enough, He makes me aware of that too. I might begin to focus where it needs be, to petition after what needs be petitioned. 4. Evils petitioned against, and goodness, my brothers and sisters, that needs be petitioned for. I thank him for that. But, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that I'm just looking at a lot of things the scriptures say about what must come to pass to bring forth judgment. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, about what is acceptable unto the Most High? When the scriptures finally come down to it, I think about scriptures like Isaiah 24. And it talks about how the Most High is not pleased. Why? Because men have broken the everlasting covenant. How about the everlasting word of peace? Has there been such warfare in the earth, contentions and debate, doubt, and biases so long in the earth, that when we look around and we see all these controversies, we take it as simply what is ordinary. We take it as what is acceptable, as if it were a norm, just simply like some people say, it is what it is. Do we look at these things, my brothers and sisters, and just accept them as they're thrust and cast upon us, and just sit back and just say that it's okay because that's just the way it is? Is it the way the thing should have been, my brothers and sisters? Is it? Is it the way the thing should have been? Is the way the thing should be? What about petitioning, my brothers and sisters, for a world brought to bear according to what the Most High does call acceptable? Have we considered what that is in every case? Well, I can only tell you in Amos 3:10, they put down a verse. I'm going to get into a few topics here. They put down a verse. They say they do not know what is right. Oh, the word right, righteous, says the Most High is not pleased because men have not known what is right. The Aramaic text, you look at lamsabible.com, for instance, relates another implication of the words in the context as the people know not how to reprove. Think about it. I said they know not how to reprove. Whenever people claim that unto the Most High, because there's some, 45,000 denominations in the world? 280 nations? You ever stop to consider whenever men say that there's no absolute, then they also say, my brothers and sisters, irreverently, there's no hope of peace. And self-righteousness, self-exaltation, selfish ambition, selfish conceits, even the perpetuity of deceit, where so often men have refused or have not perceived, is often exacted upon us as a rule over all my brothers and sisters who are so often blinded after a worldly status quo. And my brothers and sisters, even those among us who know better, you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that in a society that calls such anomalies and aberrations the norm, they are thrust upon us regardless? How many of my brothers and sisters desire better? Better for our children? Better for those who we say we love? Because the more depraved things become, the more depraved things all the more become, especially when there's nothing to say no. And when men say there's no absolute, they forget what the Most High told me is the greatest gift of the Most High. Oh, yes, my brothers and sisters, the Most High told me in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles many years ago, he told me the greatest gift he can give is a law. I said a law, my brothers and sisters. How about a peace? How about a common and absolute standard by which men can cooperate, can love and trust? Because whenever there is no standard, my brothers and sisters, for people, please understand me and realize the havoc that comes as a result of it. Dare men say lawlessness? Lawlessness is peace. Dare men say that having no standard from the Most High brings forth reverence for him? Dare men say that no matter what they do, like some people, I heard somebody say, salvation not of works, as any man should boast. Bad interpretation they had of the verse. Because if they say that it's not about what the Most High has declared what the men must do, they are saying that it, whatever they do, the Most High receives. As if the scripture says, as exactly what the scriptures warn us against in Malachi 2:17, and that warns and the priests and the people, and he says, that you dishonor the Most High. We say that everyone who does after his, how about his own evil way, you say is still somehow good in the sight of the Most High, and that he delights in such, that he delights in whatever men throw at him after the reprobate, undisciplined, lack of guidance that's in the hearts of men. Oh, please, my brothers and sisters, let us not be so unwise. I think about the idea that ancient Israel had rites of passage, my brothers and sisters. They had rites of passage. We're talking about a society, my brothers and sisters, by the time a child was 12 years old, he had to know the Torah. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters, before he could be counted, before he could be counted a viable citizen, he had to know the Torah of the Most High. And there were those who were able to examine the child, see if he was ready to carry on the legacy and the inheritance of Israel. And if one was found incapable of doing so, hey, a man was not allowed a wife. And a woman was not allowed a husband. And even then, my brothers and sisters, when they had rites of passage, oftentimes when the priests, the judges got out of line, Most High sent prophets seeking to raise the conscience of the people that things that needed not ever to be forgotten might among the people remain. Like I said, Israel, ancient Israel had rites of passage. Who then today in this society will establish this absolution in the latter days? Because believe me, nobody's going to enter the kingdom of Yah who has not proven ready and having a heart that can be called culpable unto the covenant of the Most High, true to his plan, true to the peace that must be in his kingdom peace. One scripture says it well in Psalm 95, Hebrews 3rd. Most High sworn, if you will, by his very name, that those who know not his ways should not enter into his rest. You ever stop to consider the real reason the scriptures talk about that though many claim to know the way of the gospel, as it is written, 42:16 Isaiah, 59:8 Isaiah, Romans 3:12. It says again and again, the way of peace men have not known. I think about the scriptures like Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people imagine vain things? In other words, there is no peace. It says because they've taken counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. Wow. How about taking counsel against discerning the words of the Most High after their true intents and meaning? Because to know what it said and not know why it said is to miss the point. What about, my brothers and sisters, what about scriptures like Isaiah 40? The Most High says, comfort ye, O my people. Repent ye, O my people. Oh, repent unto what? How about repent unto peace? How about repent unto what the Most High declared from the beginning? How about repent, my brothers and sisters, unto the will of one? How about returning unto the will of one? Because the times of our warfare, contentions, debate, and doubts must come to an end. Who did the scriptures say, my brothers and sisters? We renew the discretion of the people. Beyond a multitude of misallegiances? That there might be a renewal of our ancient strength and peace? How about even power, my brothers, not be so easily beguiled? Not to be so easily beguiled against what should be our mutual love for one another in the name of the Most High. Not to be also easily tempted and provoked unto so many contentions. Like the scripture says, the wrath of man does not bring forth the righteousness of the eye. Hey, we might be angry and zealous, but let it not bring us to sin. If we're members one of another. I think about the scriptures like in Amos 3 again, my brother and sister. It says, Most High says to his people Israel, you only have I known of all the peoples of the earth. He says, therefore, some people said, they put down that word, punish you for all your sins. No, my brothers and sisters, it ultimately means, therefore, I must reprove you, refine you. How about beyond all your sins, all your contentions? Because Israel is supposed to be the reasonable people, my brothers and sisters, even the light to the world. That's what Messiah said at Matthias. He called it Matthew 5:14-24. So you're the light. You're supposed to be the light of the world. So he said, think not that he comes to destroy or to dishonor in any way the law of the prophets. Wow, that's the light. How about the light of peace to the world? Anybody seek to take away from any of that so that all of a sudden you don't have, well, not all of a sudden, over a period of time, people have no sense of an absolute. End result is no peace, no reference point, no reverence for Yah. See, whoever falls victim to those who are turning men aside from respect for this consummate, pure, and perfect divine absolute. Whoever falls victim to any such ruler. Say, they shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. So that's subjection unto men. That, my brothers and sisters, is not truly what the Most High gave to Israel. Abraham was told to walk perfectly. That's the will of Yah. All the Most High revealed to him, and that would be a blessing to all nations. Since when, my brothers and sisters, did people ever get the idea that an impure, imperfect, partial, corrupt, polluted after worldly bias, set of ideals, contentious, one man against another, every man self-righteous after his own preferences. Since when, my brothers and sisters, the Most High ever declared such a thing, such instability, to be true to him unto peace? I think about scriptures like Jacob, James. He says, if you're scattered among the Gentiles, you know the Gentile nation is not in agreement, my brothers and sisters. Only thing they have in agreement is a contention against the perfect will of Yah. This is true to this very day. So if you're scattered among the Gentiles, you lack wisdom. How about lack wisdom, my brothers and sisters? It's supposed to be the light of peace to the world. You say you ask Yah. I didn't say you ask man. You ask the Most High. We all should. That he might be in the midst. Two or more gathered in his name. I didn't say exalting himself. I didn't say prideful, self-righteous. Two or more gathered in his name. Oh, asking him for his guidance. You say, there am I in the midst. But how many of my brothers and sisters so quickly hasty in their passions? If we all, my brothers and sisters, had a true reverence and love of the truth and a guidance that is from him and willing to receive it and respect it, I believe, my brothers and sisters, that love for Yah, that respect for him, that knowledge that no one will have any part in the covenant, my brothers and sisters, who was found unreasonable against there being peace, will have any part in the holy covenant, will have any part in the peace, will have any part in the promise. That knowledge, my brothers and sisters, I think would humble many of us to think twice before we so vainly contentious. Because the scripture says a double-minded man hearkening to other than Yah. He said, let him not think he will receive anything from the Most High. Definitely not the reward of peace in the Holy Kingdom. You think a multitude of people, my brothers and sisters, who don't know how to reason together will partake of the good of the land? Come on, people. My people. our petitions are for something far wiser than that to guide our people. Isaiah said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. There's a lot of things that men were doing and what they were doing even at that moment. Hey, not true to initial divine intent, but he petitioned that men might discern what they do, that they might repent and turn toward righteousness, turn toward Yah. Scripture says whatever the law says, it says ultimately then to those who have fallen short of his glory, fallen into a degree of spiritual depravity, not to discern the essence underlying, if you will, truth of it all. Fallen short of the glory. It says whoever has fallen short of the glory of his fullness and of his light and wisdom. So whatever the law says, it says to such as these, that every man's mouth, so-called self-righteous ideals, might be silenced, and every man recognize his sin, his guilt before Yah. I think about scriptures like 1 Corinthians, my brothers and sisters, 4:5. The man considers himself wise in this world. Now, we have a contentious world calling itself wise for all its debates and doubts. No wisdom. Where's wisdom under peace? Well, the scripture says Messiah will come and he will speak peace to the nations. We'll speak a word from on high. What the scripture says, the time for your warfare must come to an end. What scripture says, they who wait for him shall renew their strength. He says, in order to do what is necessary for the people to become one, he said he had to put the king as dust to his sword and different stubble to his bow. In other words, his reproof will show them shameful and their pride, self-righteous greed, whereby they were unwilling to revere all that is necessary to respect the fact that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. I think about scriptures, my brothers and sisters, like what has to happen, amazingly enough, before humanity is ready to recognize what is necessary, at the Most High, finally at last, be pleased. Think about scriptures like Hosea 11:5. He said, the sword will whirl again. How about world? That's what some texts say, world. How about world again and again against their cities? So at last the people shall begin to repent. They may come the tender mercies of Yah. It says his sword shall whirl against their cities. And then finally it says, how do I give you up? How do I deliver you, O Israel? Do I have to set you too as admiral? Do I have to set you as a boim? Hey, the cities of destruction. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Zoar were five citrus city metroplex. We talked a little bit about that last night. But the Most High to bring to destruction. Show the Most High with this confusion, this graphic sin in the minds of the people he was not pleased with. And amazingly enough, my brothers and sisters, the world has become so indiscriminate, licensing so many anomalies against the truth of Yah, that the Most High is going to have to show folks that his religion, if you will, his faith, his pure religion, is not after any of these insane, partial, and perverse contentions. None of it. Wherever there is indiscretion is acceptable unto him. He says, so world again against the city. And he has to finally, after much wrath. It's kind of like the scripture says in Isaiah 27. I wish I had time to go through all of it. And he talks about after his much wrath upon the earth, he says tender mercies will be moved. And he says finally where certainly wrath could be relayed to another city, another nation, another people, another social construct that people wanted to uphold. He said, I will not come to attack the city. And he said, in that time, he says, he will roar. In fact, he will roar like a lion. King, my brothers and sisters of Israel. and his sons shall come trembling from the west. My brothers and sisters, I talked last night about the prophecy. They talk about the fact that Messiah in the latter days, the scriptures talk about as he came before, how about 2,600 years ago, one called Messiah. Yeshua said he's a written offspring of David, the bright morning star, and 2,000 years ago, no, he didn't come from a far country. But the prophecies, my brothers and sisters, speak, as I said to you before, the prophecies speak of Messiah bringing his people out of a Babylon east first, then coming to give his life that men might recognize the folly of what they do, that they might repent. And then in the last days, my brothers and sisters, to deliver his people out of a Babylon west. Babylon east, Babylon west, three times Messiah appears. And Isaiah in the 11th chapter talks about him coming to reprove all unrighteousness, all lawlessness, that men discerning the need to transcend all that has been the fallen standards of the nations, exposing then all unrighteousness, all lawlessness, all preference and blindness after evil. He said, unto him shall all the nations seek, and his rest, his peace, shall be glorious. Brothers and sisters, again, he's revealing a way of peace that men have not known, because to this day, men have not understood entirely, my brothers and sisters, how to reason together, that the Most High might be pleased. So he has to come to show the way. But how many of my brothers and sisters are willing to accept this? How many have the type of humility to accept this? Because I know this, what I'm saying, it is definitely outside the status quo, but the prophecies say it directly. Isaiah 24:10 through 16. Hey, talk about a Messiah coming from the west in the latter days. But look at the NASB text. When they talk about fires, fires means east. When they say sea, the word for sea is west. Keep it in mind, my brothers and sisters. A lot of the latter texts relate this plainly. Isaiah 59:19-21, after reading again what's written in Isaiah 45:6, talks about Messiah coming, and the Most High might be glorified from the east to the west. Isaiah 59, talking about in the last days when finally the covenant is restored once and for all, it talks about they glorify him in the west, that they glorify him in the east. Same kind of thing you find in Isaiah 24:10-16. If you look at the NSB text, or NIV, most of the texts come from the Dead Sea Scrolls, recent texts, all related. Isaiah 46:8-13, Messiah coming from a far country. 5:26, in the latter days, hey, coming from a far country. The name of the Lord comes from afar. Isaiah 5:26, Isaiah 30:27. All these scriptures talk about Messiah coming from a far country. Messiah, as most people traditionally understand, ever come from a far country, my brothers and sisters? And why did they tell you that he will come from a far country, appear in a far country, bring his people back, that they might indeed have a place of peace at Jerusalem, or a peace, place of peace at Jerusalem, from a place in the west? Why did they tell you that? Is it simply being ignored, simply because for a long time men have ignored and refuse to remember? Did Messiah come from a far country 2,000 years ago? Well, why don't they tell you about this, my brothers and sisters? And we understand that the scriptures actually say that when Messiah appears, he at some particular place confused after all the ideals of all the nations. He will reprove all nations from that point to show a world. The confusion is now endorsed, cannot, will not, shall not ever be acceptable. The prophets even go as far to say that because of him, Israel shall speak no lies, do no iniquity. How about not be dissuaded or harmed by any false doctrine, not within or without? I will simply tell you, my brothers and sisters, the prophecies of Deuteronomy 29:29-30:15. Think about a time of great remembrance or restoration, according to all the Most High of old had declared to his people. Hey, Acts 3:18-23, talk about that time of refreshing, which is also related in Isaiah 28. Something that is necessary, my brothers and sisters, to restore the minds of the people today to the ancient heart of their patriarchal fathers. Or dare men say, my brothers and sisters, that we have an inheritance while we forget those unto whom the promise was given. My brothers and sisters, Most High talks about last day bringing forth peace. How many even understand the scenario, the prophecy that relate what will bring forth peace? How Messiah comes, how the world will be reprimanded, how the souls of men should be refined. There's so much prophecy about that, my brothers and sisters, that most have no clue about. Hey, those secret city prophecies that I keep talking about on my website, www.hiddengospel.com. Wow. The prophecies concerning the one called the King of the East, the righteous one from the East. The Messiah says he's the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Believe me, same one. Scripture says this one comes to declare an absolution, my brothers and sisters, that there might be peace. Isaiah 41, my brothers and sisters, says that this one, he most high looked upon men and saw no one preaching the gospel. How about the true way of peace, the true way of king of the kingdom? The reconciliation of the nations, the most high has intended. None able to give an answer, none able to bring forth a solution unto peace. So it says, behold, my servant, my elect, from home, my soul delight, I put my spirit upon him. How about the idea then, my brothers and sisters, this one is he whom the Most High sends, that those who believe in him might not perish? How about the idea that he is sent, my brothers and sisters, with the seal of the Most High, like it says in Revelation 7:2? Like it actually says, when it talks about the seal being the name, hey, it says in Isaiah 48, Most High is not pleased, the men have sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. But this one comes saying, from the body of my mother, the Most High made mention of my name to bring Israel back to him. Oh, how about to restore even the conscience of Israel? Scripture says those who believe in him should not be ashamed. Why is it that so many say they keep Torah? The law and the prophets are unaware of these prophecies and so often unwilling to accept even that they exist. My brothers and sisters, the prophecies speak of the spirit of truth, and it says Messiah himself said the spirit of truth the world will not receive. What do you say about that spirit? See, the Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it, bringing all things to remembrance. How about then, my brothers and sisters, the spirit of remembrance? Those who are true, humble, desires utmost for the peace and the blessing the Most High said he would bring, that he said must be brought to bear, that he look upon the world and be pleased. Those who are truly the friends of Yah will seek all that is necessary to yield themselves unto what is justice. When justice is revealed, when righteousness is revealed. I just spoke about a multitude of prophecies that most have forgotten. Will men continue to forget these things? Upholding therefore what a foolishly deceitful standards. So many wanted to say that, hey, I keep Torah. Have you kept all of Torah? So I said, think not that he came to destroy, dissuade, or dishonor in any way the law of the prophets. Have you examined all that the law of the prophets have to say is to be the expectation of his people, that there might be peace and that we all might gravitate together in him? If not, my brothers and sisters, and if after partialities so many of these contentions exist, then guess what? If the scripture says the Most High looked and he saw none preaching, none he called sufficiently an intercessor, Isaiah 59. If he says he looked and he saw none who understands his words, how is everybody so boastful? You ever stop to consider what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:5? How about earlier? It says, if any man consider himself wise after a contentious world, let him consider himself foolish, deceived. How about lacking perception or spiritual vision? Let him recognize himself in so many ways blind that he may become wise. It says, the apostle Shaul said, I know nothing of which I'm guilty or lacking or falling short. But it might not be right. I might not be right in this. For his judge, he said, will still be Messiah who reveals the hidden things that men have not considered. And when he appears and his word is revealed in its fullness, then shall every man know for sure how to praise Yah. What's scripture saying? It talks about those who had done good works will come into the light to be sure that their works are done and wrought through Yah, through the inspiration of Yah. But those who have done evil will not come into the light. Oh, won't seek that pure and perfect word. Lest their evil works, misconceits, false doctrines, presumptuousness might be reproved. When my brothers and sisters, whoever is not willing to be reproved before the Most High, when he offers the opportunity to get ourselves right, whoever is not willing, my brothers and sisters, to humble themselves before him will certainly have no place in his kingdom. And yet, my brothers and sisters, there are so many who, in their hardness of heart and pride, are so quick to sit back and talk about how righteous they are. But if the Most High were to send Messiah into the midst of them today, and they didn't know that it was he, would their conscience be alive enough to recognize that his word was to be respected? Why do you think the scriptures say Messiah, when he appears, the scripture says when he comes, he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Will he find faith in the earth? Will there be any to believe? Well, scripture says, because men would not believe. He says, in fact, in Zephaniah 3, he said that morning by morning he brings his justice, his word of justice to light. It does not fail. It's not a fallen word. He said, but the wicked, the lawless, those who are, how about this, my brothers and sisters, bewitched to think that what they have is sufficient in a world wherein all have fallen short of the glory, and that's why Messiah is sent. He said, the wicked among them know no shame. In other words, they won't respect his reproof at all. That's what's written. Why is everybody so sure, my brothers and sisters, before the time? Let the Most High humble our hearts, my brothers and sisters. Because I'm telling you now, whoever it is not willing to humble himself to prove that he is worthy, level-headed, reasonable enough to recognize the only offering with which the Most High is pleased is peace and is willing to open his heart. Allow the Most High to show us what peace is. How to reconcile our differences. Whoever is not willing to open their hearts for this, my brothers and sisters, so zealous and self-righteous that he's not willing to open his heart unto this ultimate eventuality, I tell you now, my brothers and sisters, they will not know peace. And again, while there is no absolute law, there is no holy covenant. And so often, my brothers and sisters, where we many have not realized that where there's no absolute law, like Most High told Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. My brothers and sisters, the world has fallen far short of the blessed peace that is intended. Without an absolute sense of law, my brothers and sisters, no holy covenant. Man dissuaded by every manner of reprobate, undisciplined thought. So many contentious arguments and debates, doubts. Like I said today, I saw arguments between what should be brothers arguing about the idea I keep Torah. Keep Torah, my brothers and sisters, when there is no peace. There's no reverence for Yah, my brothers and sisters, whenever men fail to discern that to profane the absolute authority of the holy name, and the holy name, my brothers and sisters, being one is peace. That wherever men fail to discern that to profane or deny the absolute authority, the peace of the holy name, it is sin. And my brother says that not only is it sin, but it's sin worthy even unto death, even unto damnation. Every foolish word a man speaks, he will give account of in the judgment. Who discerns the implications of that precious word of admonition? Most High told me again, the greatest gift he can give is a law by which the world may, as one, cooperate, love, and trust. I think about scriptures like Isaiah 41, my brothers and sisters. Yes, I do. Isaiah 41 has a scripture that it says that, you know, hey, the people will have to come for the judge and will have to prove that what they conceived was, if you will, of Yah. And it will be proven, my brothers and sisters, an abomination, a misfit, something malformed, not discerning what the Most High from the beginning declared, is declared, and will declare unto an eternal peace. And my brother and sister says the king should be made as dust, well, scripture says, dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow. My scripture says be trodden down like the potter treads clay, unclean or misformed pot. The potter has a right to do with as he will, because he wants to bring forth, my brother and sister, what is acceptable. I think about scriptures like those that, again, Amos 3:10, it says people know not how to reprove. They don't know what is right. Hey, Isaiah 41 say they don't know that he is righteous when he appears. Wow, don't know what righteousness is. But the people must know, my brothers and sisters, they're ever going to be brought together as one. If Most High looks upon men and sees none preaching the gospel, he says he sees none preaching the way of peace. And the scripture says point blank, like I told you. Scripture says Messiah is sent because the way of peace men have not known. They knew the way of peace. Way of peace. Why is there no peace? Or do people call all this depravity? An argument? 45,000 denominations? All saying something different in some way? Upholding so much uncleanness? They call that peace with Yah? I say, my brothers and sisters, it's time to think again. And as I said before, I find it amazing that in so much self-righteous, no one talks, by and large, about the one whom the Most High soul delights, who, where there's for a long time been no rites of passage, discern who deserves the title to be called Israel. This one, according to Revelation 7:2, beyond all the rulers, 7:2 through 7:17, that he might wipe away all tears from off all eyes, will decide who has the seal to be called a child of Israel and who will not. Think about it. When the scripture says that after that city is destroyed, Isaiah 25:1-3, it says people will finally say in his appearing when he exposes all the contentious blindness that's over all the nations, that men might finally see the light of the Most High. Says he wipes away all tears from off our eyes, saying, this is the righteous one, if you will, for whom we have waited. You ever stop thinking that scripture talking about, when scripture is talking about, he wipes away all tears from off our eyes, say we rejoice in his salvation. Well, think about it, my brother. It says that salvation is the peace the Most High always intended. And to bring it to bear, there must be one, a Shasha and Shahe, a king of kings, a king over all kings, to correct all the injustices seeming wise when men have disrespected the fact that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, and everybody wants to set up and declare his own territory. Everyone wants to declare sit back and declare according to his own selfish ambition. Hey, even blinding the masses as to what is righteousness to cause people to even petition for the perpetuation of what is only confusion. Now, you're talking about beguile, brothers and sisters. That is. If they could lie so much to the people or hide the truth so long to the people that most don't even realize the need to seek the Most High to discover, rediscover what they have not known. That peace may come. I said the spirit of truth, the spirit of remembrance, the Messiah said, the worldly, hey, will not receive. Well, let's consider this, my brothers and sisters. Men refusing to remember what the Most High declared from the beginning. Refusing to repent, to discern what the Most High declared from the beginning, has been man's stagnation against the peace. What's the scripture say? Men are sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Who is there among you who can declare these things? That can destroy this Babylon? How about preservation of every depravity that is twisted and beguiled the human soul? What do you think Babylon is but a multitude of contentions after the fleshly ideals of men? Carnally corrupt zeal of men. Yes, and it's right there in the midst of your so-called churches, my brothers and sisters. Instead, he would come forth saying, from the beginning, from the creation, from the time that it was, there am I to show you the way that you should go. Oh, that you kept, preserved, maintained my commandments. Oh, that you kept my, what, Torah? Kept my peace? Kept my word? Kept my thoughts? Like I said, to know what's said and not know why is a missed point. And obviously, there's a whole lot of folks out here not teaching the point, my brothers and sisters. He said, then your peace would have been as a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. The beginning was an eternal word, my brothers and sisters. Eternal word of harmony with the Most High. Who discerns that word, my brothers and sisters, that men might not so easily and so quickly go astray? He says his covenant at that time that he puts in the mouth and the minds of his people should not depart from their mouth, nor the mouth of their descendants and descendants henceforth even forever. I can tell you now that covenant, my brothers and sisters, is not 45,000 difference in the denominations out here. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, not all the misrepresentations and the misquotations, the mistranslations, the misexegesis, the misadministrations of so many who just simply read the words but comprehend not the meaning. Scripture says that Isaiah 41, because none recognize that the answer, the solution, what is the answer and the solution to bring forth truly what is the peace? He says, good tidings. Oh, that Yah reigned. Oh, what about the scripture says Messiah will come forth saying, there's no peace. How about this, my brothers and sisters? I hope you understand what it means. No peace while the wicked are still yet reigning in power. And that the gospel is the word that declares the true reign of Yah. Because as long as wicked people are in places of power, my brothers and sisters, controlling the resource, there will be those bribed to follow them. And to uphold, my brothers and sisters, would enslave the minds of all. My brothers and sisters, peace will only come when righteous rule is over the earth and there's no more obstacle against man discerning again his purpose and performing his purpose true to all that the Most High has intended, having no alternate sense of what is ideal. No alternate value system, my brothers and sisters, to sway the mind to fall short of what is divinely intended, that each soul be a positive example to every other soul. Scripture says he must lead them by a way they have not known. When it says, behold my servant, my soul delights, it means behold my servant who appeases me. One scripture says of him, he performs all that is divine pleasure. That man's great discretion, the Most High told me again during the Feast of Tabernacles, I think one of the most profound messages I heard this past Feast of Tabernacles. He said, his people must know it. He said, a great discretion is required that men not lift up their souls unto vanity. Great discretion then is required, my brothers and sisters, that men not offend Yah. Great discretion is required, my brothers and sisters, that men not cause one another to offend. Great discretion, my brothers and sisters, is required that men are found acceptable unto the community of peace that the Most High has intended. Great discretion, my brothers and sisters, is required that men and all their works and efforts are somehow found valuable. Because let me tell you something. The Most High is not going to take any tainted, perverted, polluted, misguided thing. That's why the scripture says they who believe in him should not be ashamed. Trust me, my brothers and sisters, any corruption outside the nature of who he is not belief in him. That's like telling me that somebody comes up and tells me or tells somebody that I like eating crawfish or something. That's not lawful. Okay? Somebody bring that to me. No, that's sea roaches. I don't eat that. Okay? Stinks to me. It's disgusting to me. I tell you right now, if you don't talk about things like that, I mean, just the smell of something then cooked with the pork would turn my stomach. But you sit back and you tell somebody that I like that. You think I'd be happy? Think I'd be pleased? So you call yourself Hebrews. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Why is it people so quickly just up and say that something that the Most High is not pleased with somehow is pleasing to him simply because they said so? Come on, my brothers and sisters. There's a reason why it said you turn away from even the least of the law and the prophets. You should know Christ in the kingdom of Yah. How do people think they're acceptable under the kingdom after that which the Most High is not pleased? He said great discretion is required that men not lift up their souls in the vanity, that they not swear themselves deceitfully, that they not, get my point, follow after somebody's false righteousness. Great discretion, my brothers and sisters, is required to not find yourself blinded and left to nothingness after some false prophet who won't even teach you the eventuality of what the scripture says you must look to for the day of peace. Most know nothing about calling themselves believers, know nothing about the secret city prophecies, don't know who Messiah said he is and all the prophecies that are mentioned concerning him in terms of what must bring peace in the last day. Do you realize, my brothers and sisters, that those prophecies that tell you the eventuality unto peace, or what will bring that peace, is all part of the gospel, all part of what must be remembered? There are people say they're so prideful after their institutionalities and their long-time traditions that if you tell them about these things that would be revealed by the spirit of remembrance. Brothers and sisters, dare men say that they have an excuse for not giving attention? Scripture says, if a man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, no more sacrifice be offered for sin. But I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, this is sin simply not to look. It's a sin not to know. These things have been around for thousands of years. These words I'm speaking to you now have been around for thousands of years. There's no excuse for not knowing. Or dare men say that in their lack of knowledge they're still yet acceptable simply because it's not, these things, this knowledge is not part of the status quo. Scripture says Messiah will not judge after what his eyes see nor what his ears hear. The status quo is not his standard. And it says he's going to slay, expose every fallen standard by the discretion granted of the Spirit. You ever stop to consider the only way then, my brothers and sisters, you're going to be prepared for that is that you ask the Most High for His Spirit to discern the exceeding things and count yourself blessed, my brothers and sisters, that you have an opportunity to remember or revive the heart of the ancient Hebrew fathers to the children. Or dare men say that simply whatever man has forgotten is no longer part of the promise. That's insanity. That's like calling the Most High himself a liar. And there are those, my brothers and sisters, who do this every day and call themselves friends of his. There's no excuse, my brothers and sisters. I'm telling you now, a lot of things that I would tell you and the things I talk about on this show on a regular basis, I have so much evidence of it. So much replete evidence of it. I'm not talking about once, twice, three times saying something. I'm talking about prophecies from Genesis 1 and 1 to Revelation 22:21. I'm talking about, my brothers and sisters, prophecies that exist in the text of what we call the Bible. And prophecies also, my brothers and sisters, in texts that the Bible relates to us were canonical. Part of the belief and the teaching of even the apostles and even Yeshua himself who quoted from them. And all these things are there. But people say they have an excuse for holding to the bribes of worldly tradition, even when these things are told. What scripture says the spirit of truth? That what says the spirit of truth does? Bring all things to remembrance? Wow. And people say they refuse to remember, but they still call themselves reasonable and not beasts. What about the scripture of Isaiah 46 and 8? Say, remember this and show yourselves men. Wow. The unreasonable, my brothers and sisters, are those who, for hatred against the truth, divide the world. That's why the scripture called them worldly. They don't want to remember, my brothers and sisters, what they say that they're rulers. Well, let me see if I can explain this to you. When the adversary, the prince of darkness, causes men to become irreverent or disrespectful of a command of the Most High, he feels that whoever it is that he has separated from the mind of Yah is his possession. You need to think about that. That means if he can cause you to love darkness, ignorance, so much so that you refuse to see the light. What does the scripture say? It said those who done good works will come to the light. Be sure that what they do is done through Yah. But those who done evil will not come to the light, lest their works should be reproved. Well, think about it, my brothers and sisters. Those who believe in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. Those who believe in him, he gave them. And those who believe in him, the scripture says, gave them opportunity, if you will, that they might not perish, but have everlasting life. I didn't say someone else. See, those who did not believe, already condemned for not believing in the name of the only begotten Son. You ever stop to consider, brothers and sisters, his word, his Torah, is his name? There's an old word of Hebrew mystics that is in this wise, and sounds so much like Yohanan 101. The Blessed One, the Holy One, blessed be He. His name is in, if you will, the word for in and with is the same. The Holy One, blessed be He. His name is in Him, with Him. And He is His name. And His name is the Torah. In the beginning was the Word was with Yah, the Word was Yah. Same statement. Well, I can only tell you this, my brothers and sisters. You better believe that what the Most High has signed is an everlasting contract. Nobody changes anything on it, takes anything away or adds, unless he add damnation to his own soul. I think about a scripture, my brothers and sisters. They shall cry to the Most High. Isaiah 19:18-25. See, they'll cry to the Most High because of the oppressors. How about because there's no sense of justice? No sense of what is righteousness. Nothing that brings forth an absolution. Nothing which defends every soul against the wiles of the wicked. They shall cry to the Most High because of the oppressors. Oh, all the injustice that men feel they have a right to perform simply because there's no rule, or simply because they can bribe enough people to let them go along with it. It's kind of like I've heard kind of things. I've heard Monsanto going to college campuses and recruiting people to do and be part of some of the most dastardly research you could ever imagine, totally shifting in so many ways the very course of nature, leaving people entirely dependent upon Monsanto. Monsters. Satan. Yeah. Indeed. They cry to the Most High because of the oppressors. Hey, do you cry to the oppressors because of the oppressors? No, you cry to the Most High for an absolute. And Scripture says, then the Egyptians shall know the Most High that day. That means they shall know what is absolution. That they may vow to the Most High. All vow with common knowledge to perform it. He said, then shall there be peace. He says, a highway from Egypt to Assyria, Egypt to the south of Israel, Assyria to the north. And Israel a blessing, the healing, the peace in the midst of all the lands. She cries most happy because of the oppressors. Oh, finally women will see where there's so much insanity and injustice going on in the world that they cry out for a healing. The Most High says He then will send them a savior, a judge, if you will, a lawgiver and defender, and He shall deliver them. All these words, my brothers and sisters, relate to someone who will make the people whole in the knowledge of Yah. What the scripture says, upon him shall rest the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, understanding. I can only tell you every one of those concepts and those words, brothers and sisters, relate a fluid of knowledge, a righteous wisdom. That's why scripture calls him the righteous one, like the rising sun, to cast out all the darkness. How about all that? Let's just say, think about it. How many arguments, my brothers and sisters, exist because somebody didn't know, but someone else knew, or neither knew what is just? I told you again, my brothers and sisters, Most High told me the greatest gift he can give, then his grace, then, my brothers and sisters, because that's what gift is. Is a law, even an absolute, pure, and perfect law, that men in him might agree. While the scriptures say such things as, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Where's our healing as a people, my brothers and sisters? Where's that common anticipation? Why did everybody want to sit back and say the Messiah comes, he's going to agree with them, rather than pronating the people to expect that they will have to humble themselves to agree with the Savior? I think people got that a little bit upside down. In fact, my brothers and sisters, whoever's teaching these things upside down, the scripture says that presumptuousness should be esteemed as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken without pity. So there's not even a piece of it left, a shard of it left, to take water from a cistern. The Most High would be totally disgusted with it all because it did not revere him. And who, my brothers and sisters, willing to talk about these things? Scripture doesn't talk about he's going to reprove both ultimately with his church and state, if you read Isaiah 66. Finding the offering in it disgusting, as if someone had offered up as an offering swine's blood. He says when he reproves those who are enemies, if you will, against his righteousness, the fullness of his word, the whole word of Yahweh. Find it also in Isaiah 59. The scripture says when that reproof comes in that city and report goes forth of tumult and destruction from that city, because that's what the words actually there mean. He said those who are wise, if you will come swiftly. Isaiah 5:26. It would be as if Israel was suddenly reborn as a people, healed, as if it were in one day. But these, my brothers and sisters, who are going to be part of that number, and believe me, there's more than 144,000 out here claiming to be Israelites. Those who are going to find themselves part of that, my brothers and sisters, are going to be those who realize they have to transcend so much corruption, so much short-sightedness. That has been taught among the various congregations. What does the scripture mean when it says he comes saying, they who wait for him shall not be ashamed or found falling short? Does that mean that people are found acceptable according to what they consider wise under various institutions today? Brothers and sisters, the scripture says when he comes because the Most High saw no intercessor. He saw no one, if you will, complete. No one preaching the whole word. That's what that word glad tidings means. And the Most High was not pleased. Everybody wants to be a judge, my brothers and sisters. And I got news for you. I will tell you right now that I know for a fact that him whom the Most High calls to judge is more concerned at this point about being absolutely sure that in all things his word in no way would dissuade anyone against what is divine purpose, for that is the reason why he lives. What's the scripture say of him in Isaiah 50? Morning by morning, as the Most High caused my ears to hear the teaching. that I should know how to declare a word to the weary. How about those who are misguided and spiritually falling short? And he has not turned back the rebellious way. It means he has to show others how not to fall victim to such beguilements himself, that he has to overcome these things. Why don't they tell you about those scriptures, my brothers and sisters? Why don't they tell you that the receiving of the Holy Spirit, that you might mature unto what is complete before you? You need to ask yourself, my brothers and sisters, you need to check out that website of mine, hiddengospel.com. Early Church Origin, an article called Secret City Prophecies. Hey, article called Remember the Promise. I say these primary ones to get a good start at it. Article called Tribulation 70 to 365 AD. Another article, my brother and sister, said Woe to the Shepherds. And a good exercise in monotheist thought. An article there, Thoughts and After Thoughts on Contradiction versus Diction. I promise you, my brothers and sisters, petition the Most High, you'll find their wisdom. Words, my brothers and sisters, are without which no man is healed, no man is made whole. I'm not being arrogant here. But my brothers and sisters, the Messiah says you wind up being turned away or fall after someone who would cause you to deny even the least of the law and the prophets or cause you to be self-righteous without these words. That's what he's really saying in so many ways. He said, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. He said, watch out for false prophets, those who teach a false eventuality. How do you know that what you think you know is true to all things? Or that there's a certain word greater that you need? How do you know whether or not, my brothers and sisters, you are sufficient in all things? Unless in so many ways you're willing to seek the guidance of the Most High and are willing to look. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, what does it say? Those who have done good works or want to do what is good will come to the light. But those who do evil don't want to see the light. Lest they find out the spirit they've been walking after, my brothers and sisters, has not been one to remember all the Most High intends for his people. We can do better. Truly, my brothers and sisters, we can do so much better. Giving honor to the Most High, and I petition with everything in my heart to see that we do perform what the Most High sees as the potential that is in us. What is man? The psalmist says, what is man thou mindful of him? The Most High knows full well, my brothers and sisters, what man can be. Following true to the guidance of the Spirit. Understanding, my brothers and sisters, what it is that he gave his Spirit for. He calls it the Comforter. Let there be peace. But he never said anything else but that the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, he said that the Holy Spirit would teach all things, no lie in it. Holy Spirit would bring all things to remembrance. Holy Spirit will reprove all sin. How about reprove every fallen standard that men have hold? How about every false prophet, my brothers and sisters? How about every fallen testimony? How about reproving every testimony of man that would keep men blind to what the Most High for his people, blind of what for the Most High for his people intends? How about reproving every testimony, every teacher who would deny you the knowledge of these things? I thank the Most High, my brothers and sisters. The Most High showed me so many magnificent truths before I even had a chance to pick a Bible up. For me, and I thank the Most High for this, but he told me I had a special commission. He showed me so many things, and when I found them in the Bible, I was absolutely blown away. Hadn't read it yet. But he told me that my purpose, I would petition that you ask him whether I'm speaking true or not. He told me that I have for him some very important things to do. And he told me, my brothers and sisters, That is to tell you things that men have done everything they could to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. You need to ask why it is that so many seek to destroy, deny so much truth. Seek, my brothers and sisters. Seek. Don't let anybody rip you off that you never find out that you... So many of you may be born to know. Scripture says the adversary seeks to deceive, if possible, even the very elect, and the elect are called to know, called to understand. But my brothers and sisters, bribery, seeking esteem from men, oftentimes being blind after the flesh, so much so that people oftentimes say, well, I don't see it, all that. I've heard people say, well, it's not about all that, simply because they are blind to it. So much truth. Doesn't make any difference to me. Oh, wow, how many times have I heard these things? Well, my brothers and sisters, it's in the Word. It means it's important. Yes, it's important to the Most High. And yes, it's important unto the salvation or, let's just say, the making whole and healed of your soul. That you do understand these things. What did Messiah say? You fall victim. Anyone who turns away from even the least of all the prophets, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. If anyone seeks to make a fool of his brother to deny the part of the law and the prophets, at the end result is there's no reconciliation among the people. If you read really close between 5:14 and 24, you understand that. If there's no reconciliation among the people, he says anyone who would do this is guilty unto hellfire. Read Matthew, my brothers and sisters, the 18th chapter, and realize what is the purpose of the Torah. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the purpose of the Word from the Most High is unto an everlasting peace. Pray for those brothers I saw today. Arguing. Each of them claimed to be keepers of the Torah. And willing to, in so many ways, insult one another with foolish words and only proving their own lack of discretion. It's time, my brothers and sisters, that we realize that our purpose is to seek the truth that we might help one another. For if our faith is not unto our salvation peace, what is it unto? My brothers and sisters, faith in Yah, who does not change, nor will he be destabilized after the misconceits of men. Faith, my brothers and sisters, what does Scripture say? That your faith and your patience be unto a perfect work, none double-minded. How about then all like-minded? Whatever is written of old is for our learning. Hey, it didn't say that we not believe, but that we do believe. We all become like-minded, even bringing all the nations obedient in word and deed. If all were obedient in word and deed, thought, conceits, drives, no one errantly biased, unto the will of one, after the pure and perfect will of Yah, discerning his will, and knowing the blessing that comes in being true to this. And to send my brothers and sisters to displeasure the Most High when he doesn't see peace. If we understood this, my brothers and sisters, that our seeking the mutual peace and showing that we desire it for heaven's name's sake is that which the Most High. Like, what did he say? Blessed are the peacemakers? Yes, indeed. What does Scripture say? He should speak peace to the nation? How about one standard to them all? Oh, if I could just simply tell you. If I told you what I've seen. A few years back, I saw in the midst of the Middle East So many, my brothers and sisters, sticks, stones, rocks, guns. Everyone contentious, argumentative, one against another. But there's something about the East, my brothers and sisters. They expected one to come to bring peace. That was an old, old belief in the East. Someone walked in the midst of all this argument and the rage that was seething in the crowd. He stood up in the midst and said a single sentence. And everyone put down their weapons. Knowing that they had indeed been beguiled. And who is it, my brothers and sisters? Is it that would bring forth so many contentions, so much self-righteous pride, when the truth of the matter is if we all indeed knew and worshipped and understood the will of the One, none of this warfare would exist. Maybe I have some time I'll elaborate a little bit further on what I saw. But it was a glorious thing to watch so much insanity. A situation that was filled with so much insanity suddenly yielded so much reason. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Adam Yav, Covenant of Remembrance Ministries. So incredibly, very, very much so thankful. Thankful to the Most High and having a love for Him, for His promise. For His promise is peace, but it's always been according to the pure and perfect will of One. And the promise that He gives by His Spirit that we might overcome the insanities and instabilities of our flesh. That's what the Most High has promised us. He said, if we walk according to the flesh, we will die, but if we walk according to His Spirit, we will live. And we should not be, let's just say, have this idea that He desires perfection in us as a thing of fear. Not give a spirit of fear to be in bondage. But the scripture said we should cry out, Abba, Bone, Father, our Father, for we know that this is His desire. For even the scriptures there say, all the creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of Yah. Let us understand this, my brothers and sisters, that we should
90 seconds.
He indeed reveals to us what's necessary that we transcend ourselves, because it is those who have that faith, that love, and thankfulness to Him for the promise that He has given, that a day will come that His people will, again, like Scripture says in Zephaniah 3:13, doing no iniquity, no inequity, no injustice, no impurity, speaking no lies, no mouth, no beguiling words, no one to harm or to stabilize within or without, no guile in their mouths, my brothers and sisters, Revelation 14, having overcome the marks and the standards of all the beastly and unreasonable nations. They keep the commands of Yah after the faith, what Yeshua Himself believes. Yahshua Himself believes. Brothers and sisters, escape the wrath that befalls those who choose to continue to contend. Here, my brothers and sisters, it's been Adam Yah of Covenant of Remembrance Ministries petitioning surely for the blessing of His people, of our people, and to His might, to His honor and to His praise, for the Most High Yah always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near.
You got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent a lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. How we gonna learn your song? So come-
Mm-hmm.